You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
If Jesus comes tomorrow to spend some time with you, would you answer all his questions or lie to hide the truth? Would you welcome him with open arms, or even let him in? If Jesus comes tomorrow, what then? If Jesus calls your number, could you leave today? Are you ready to lay down your worldly goods and walk away? Would it take a month of Sundays to tell him of all your sins? If Jesus comes tomorrow, what then? If the sky turned dark as midnight in the middle of the day, and somehow you knew that Jesus would soon be on his way, would you have to beg forgiveness, or could you reach out and take his hand? If Jesus comes tomorrow, what then?
Song. I want to introduce to you tonight Brother Ivy Shelton. Brother Ivy's pastor of the Sherwood Baptist Church. I tell this nearly every time he's over here, but we always have a bunch of new people. The way I met Ivy Shelton was one of the guys who was influential in helping us start the rec room, who spent 10 flat over at the Smith unit, who was living in Andrews, told me about him, and he said he just got a church in Odessa, and you need to go by and see this guy. And he couldn't remember the name of the church, but we found that out. But he said, this guy, you need to meet him. And I'm so glad he told us about that. Brother Ivy, if you'll come now, brother, and preach to us.
I enjoy coming back to the rec room, for sure. Thank you for having me tonight. I want you to take your Bibles and go to Psalm 121. Leland asked me a couple weeks ago to come and preach to you. And
anybody need a Bible?
Yeah, we'll get you a Bible. Leland asked me to come preach, and I had set up to come preach. And my mom was put in the hospital, and so I had to call him and say, can I reschedule, preach another time? I got to go to Lubbock, check on my mom. And she's doing a lot better, and the Lord's moved in that area. So I'm so thankful for that, and thankful that Leland gave me a call to come back, and I appreciate it very, very much. Psalm 121 is what God's put on my heart for this week, and this is one of my favorite psalms. And I go to this psalm often when I have trouble in my spirit. And this helps me. When I've got anguish in my soul, this helps me. The Lord has given me a great gift. When I lay my head down on my pillow at night, and I think He does this, and it's just supernatural, I just pray and I give my problems to the Lord Jesus. And very rarely do I ever have a time where I toss and turn. The Lord brings peace to my life because I've walked with Him for a lot of years. And I know that He has all things in control. And so I trust Him. And so when I put my head down on my pillow at night, I rest. And I get good sleep because I know whatever has come that day, that my God is in control. That my God knows everything that's going on, and He's not up there in heaven wringing His hands wondering what in the world am I going to do next. He is in charge. And this psalm gives me great, great comfort when I'm going through a number of things. God has worked amazingly in my church, and I know He is in churches across Odessa and doing some incredible things. But with that often comes a great deal of spiritual warfare. And you know the devil is working behind the scenes, and so a lot of times you have problems with people, but when you go deeper than that, you realize it's not that person I'm having a problem with, it's that we war in the heavenlies with the principalities and the powers. And so when I know that there's a great deal of warfare that I'm in the midst of, I go back to this psalm. Now before we read this, I want to give you just a little bit of background. This psalm, we don't know who wrote this specifically. There is some speculation, and it's just speculation, that King Hezekiah might have written this particular psalm. And possibly he wrote it, possibly, whenever Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came against Jerusalem and besieged Jerusalem with somewhere just shy of maybe 200,000 soldiers. And he had gone through, in history we know that Sennacherib had gone through and he'd wiped out a lot of the villages before he ever got to Jerusalem. And he just had this incredible army. The Assyrians were incredibly ruthless, and Sennacherib was an incredibly ruthless king among the kings of Assyria. And he was just a brutal guy. And in the British Museum, there is a cylinder that they have there, and the Assyrians would ascribe some of their history on these cylinders. They would write it on there. And on one of these cylinders in particular, Sennacherib had recorded on there that he had shut up King Hezekiah in the walls of Jerusalem like a bird in a cage. And we don't know much after that from extra-biblical history, history outside of the Bible. We do know that Sennacherib's army, something happened to it. And it was much less of a force after that time than it had ever been before. What happened to it? We know from Scripture what happened to it. He came, he besieged Jerusalem. Hezekiah lifted his petition up before the Lord, and the Lord took care of it, and he sent his angel, and the angel destroyed that Assyrian army, and Sennacherib went home in complete defeat because our God is in control. And if, just if, the speculation is right, and Hezekiah wrote this particular psalm, and we don't know, but it fits. And if he didn't, it still fits to my life because my God is in control. And so let's look at it. Let's read it together. Psalm 121. And I hope it becomes as special and precious to you as it does to me, as it is to me. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. And he who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Now let's take a moment. Let's just pray. Jesus, we come before you right now. Lord, I thank you for this particular psalm that speaks to my heart so often through the years. When I am in trouble, when I am in distress, I can call upon you and I know where my help comes from. I know that. I am confident in that. Speak to our hearts by the power and presence of Your Holy Spirit tonight, Lord Jesus. And let us leave this place, not the same, but let us leave this place with the knowledge and with the power that You bring. And Lord God, let us live and walk differently. We love You, Jesus, and we declare that to You. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I look at this psalm, and it gives me confidence for a number of reasons. The first one is I know the origin of my help. The psalmist looks probably out his palace window, and if he looks out there on Jerusalem, he sees a city that is established upon hills. Those hills are the natural defenses of Jerusalem. If indeed Hezekiah wrote this, then he would have looked out there and he would have seen a vast army out there. The hills were not his help anymore, even though they were militarily a natural defense. That army was coming over those hills, and armies came over those hills at different times in history. You see, the help wasn't in the natural defenses that were out there. The help wasn't in Israel's military. He asked a simple, strong, straightforward question. I look to those hills. From whence comes my help? Where does my help come from? And the answer comes back strong. My help comes from the Lord who made those hills. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And so we absolutely know the origin of our help. We don't have to guess about it. If you're a born-again believer, if you've asked Jesus Christ to save you and He resides in your life, in your heart, listen, you know where your help comes from. Whatever you may go through, you know the origin of your help. Nahum 1:7 says this, "The Lord is good, and He is a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who take refuge in Him." And so, you know, regardless of what I'm going through, regardless of what inside of me I'm wrestling with on any particular day, at any particular time, regardless of how sad I am, regardless of how worked up and angry I am over something, or whether I'm having a really good day and I'm really happy, I know I can always come to the Lord. From whence comes my help? From the Lord who made heaven and earth. You know the origin of your help. But man, there is so much more that is here. After he says in verse 2, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth, I want you to look at this. We see not only the origin of our help, but we see the constant nature of that help. I love verse 3. He will not allow your foot to be moved. That means that He puts you on bedrock. That means that He takes you, as it says other places in the Scripture, He takes you out of the miry clay and He sets your feet up on a rock. Solid, steady. We know that our help is constant. He will not allow your foot to be moved. But listen to this language. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And so when I come to the Lord knowing where my help is, I don't have to wonder whether He's there in the morning time or not. Because it says He never slumbers. He never goes away for a rest like we need a rest. He never sleeps. He's there in the morning. If I come in the afternoon, I don't have to wonder if He's taking an afternoon nap. He does not sleep. He's always there. In the middle of the night, if I have anguish in my heart, I never have to wonder if He's listening to me. He is always there. He's never slumbering. He's never sleeping. There is a constant nature to our help. We know that He is always there. And He gives us strength. We can always come to Him, and there's always this strength, this supernatural strength that He gives us, rising up in the inner man. Isaiah the prophet in chapter 40, over there in about verse 28 through 31, it's that passage where it talks about even the young people grow tired and weary. But those who do what? Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Why? Because we have a God who is always there. We know the origin of our help. We know the constant nature of our help. He is always there. But man, there's more. It's like the old Ronco commercials. But wait, there's more. Okay? When we think about mankind, we think that we need help on several different levels. We know who helps us. We know the help is always there. It's constant. But we know this as well. We need help on several different levels. We need help sometimes physically. We need help sometimes emotionally, psychologically. We need help spiritually. And as we look at the last part of this psalm, we find every facet of man is helped by the Lord God. Now just look back at Scripture with me for just a moment here. Look in verse 5. It says, "The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand." You know what that speaks to me of? He is our physical help. That is battle language right there. That is language of a warrior that is out in the middle of the field and the sun is beating down upon his head and he's tired. He's physically tired. And the psalmist says, He's my shade. He's the one that puts His protective wings over us and He gives us shade. So when we are physically worn out, God is our helper. My father-in-law has a hobby. He's a historian and he was a college professor, and one of his particular hobbies was studying Civil War history. And so he goes and he does these Civil War reenactments. And he's got a horse and he goes out there on the battlefield. He's been to Gettysburg and all that kind of stuff. And he goes out there and they reenact these battles. Not something I particularly want to do, but something he likes. So they go out there, and the first time he ever did one of these was in Gettysburg. And he wasn't part of the cavalry then. So they get out there on the field and they run out on the field and they recreate this battle. And, you know, you have to, at certain points you get shot and you die. And I said, well, how do you determine when you die? How do you determine where you die? Where do you fall down? And he said, well, he says, it's really very simple. He said, I'm not going to die out in the middle of the field. I'm going to find a shady spot. And that's where I'm going to get shot and I'm going to die right there. And so I have a picture of, there's probably 100 guys over there under the shade tree that have all been mysteriously shot in the battle under the shade tree. Most appropriate place to die. Why? You don't die if you got a choice. If you got a choice, you don't want to be in the middle of that field with the sun beating down on you. That's the language that's used here as it talks about the Lord being our shade. And sometimes we just get physically tired, don't we? Just physically worn out. Now, this doesn't say that all our aches and pains are taken away. This doesn't say that, you know, everything that besets us is going to be gone. I mean, we can look in the mirror and tell that we're wearing out. I don't know if you can tell that or not, but I can. I don't look the same as I did 20 years ago. I have things that hurt that didn't hurt 20 years ago. And 20 years from now, I'll have things that look a lot worse and hurt a lot worse than right now. We don't get over all of our physical ailments. But here's what I think this means. It means that when you go through your day, whatever hurts you, whatever is ailing you. I've got a sister-in-law right now that is in the throes of multiple sclerosis. She's got MS and she's fighting that. She's battling that and she's worn out from it. But here's the truth of it. As we struggle with things physically, we can bring that to the Lord and put it in His hands. And sometimes He'll take it off of us, you know? And sometimes He'll just get right there in the fire with us and He'll walk with us through it. But whatever we need, He is right there in His sovereign wisdom to give us what we need. So at the end of the day, we can say, whether we still have all the same aches and pains, whether we still have the same illnesses, and all of that, we can say, the Lord sustained me this day. The Lord gave me His strength this day. And so it is absolutely beautiful language. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. That means that when we come to Him, we know He's our help. We know He's constantly there. And we know that He helps us on a physical level. But it goes deeper than that. The last part of that verse is very interesting. It says, the sun shall not strike you by day. Look at the next part, nor the moon by night. You know, the word for moon is lunar. We get an interesting word from the word lunar, lunatic. Lunatic comes, and they took lunar, and lunar tick. It means a crazy person, okay? And so people have thought throughout history that the moon has particular powers over people. And so they had that thought in that day, that the moon would kind of cause people to be crazy at certain times. Now, I don't know if I don't think I ascribe to that. But I do know this, if you talk to police officers, they say the craziest times of the month are times during a full moon, you know? So I don't know about all that. I'm not pretending to know about all that. But they had that thought in that day as well, that the moon in particular might kind of cause you to go out of your head, so to speak, go out of your mind. And what he's saying here is not only does the Lord protect you and shade you and physically take you through the day, but also there is emotional help there as well. When you come to the Lord and just say, Lord, I'm worn out. And you know, so much physically is tied to what's going on emotionally as well. When you just come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm worn out. I can't go another step. My mind is tired. I'm struggling right now. I've got worries and anxieties, and man, we can just take them all and we can lay them right at the feet of the Lord. And He says, the moon will not harm you, the psalmist says. Meaning, He's going to take care of you emotionally and psychologically. Isn't our God good? Amen. But you know, it goes even just a little bit deeper, way deeper. We can fix that. Goes even deeper than that. Look at the last part. Spiritual help. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. And He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve you going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. See, here's the wonderful thing. There's something so much more than this physical life. There's something so much more than the things that go through my mind. And the emotional help that I need. I need spiritual help. I needed Jesus because I was a lost sinner. And I need somebody to save my soul. And you see, the last part of this psalm speaks to that very thing. The thing that mankind needs the most is not for his physical body always to be healed. Not for everything in his mind to just go away. But we need true peace. We need peace that only the Lord can give. Peace that passes all understanding. We need complete healing which comes at the spiritual level. We need healing that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ that only He can bring. And you see, that's what's spoken of here. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He'll preserve your soul. I thought about the 23rd Psalm. The very last verse is there. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why? Because, as the psalmist says, He protects me. My going out, my coming in from this time forth, and even, it says, forevermore. So when you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the wonderful thing about this psalm is it speaks to us on so many different levels. We know who helps us. From whence comes my help? From the Lord who made heaven and earth. How often? Anytime you have need, because He never slumbers nor sleeps, there's a constant nature to that help. And for every facet of who you are and what He has created you to be, physically, emotionally, and above all, spiritually, He brings His help to your life. He brings His salvation to your life. Over in John chapter 10 and verse 10, there's a contrast given in that verse. And Jesus says this, the devil comes, the enemy comes to steal, to kill and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and you may have it abundantly. That psalm speaks to that right there. He takes care of us. And He says further in that chapter, over in about the 27th, 28th verse, He says, those whom the Father has given to me, no one can take them out of my hand. He is powerful enough, our going out into battle, our coming in. He protects us. And even when our physical life is done, we are ushered into His presence if we know Him as our Lord and Savior. And He protects us, our going out and our coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. This psalm speaks powerfully to me. This has been a couple of extremely difficult weeks in my ministry for different reasons. And it's all right. It comes. It happens. You know? And stuff just happens from all different areas. You know? Inside my family, dealing with the things with my mom, inside my church, attacks from here and here. But you know what? I don't let it get me down too much because I know where my help is. And I know who my God is. And whatever may happen, I trust in Him. I want you to bow your heads with me tonight. Bow your heads with me. I want you to listen to me for just a moment. And I'm going to wrap us up here. We're going to have a time of invitation. And you may be in this place and you don't have that trust to know that if you called on Him, that anybody would answer you. Because you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior. Tonight you can. And you can be confident that you can always come to Him, that He's always there and He's ready to help you. He is at the right hand of the Father, ready to give aid, to give help to His children. And He wants you to be one of His children. And tonight, you can. In the quietness of this place, very simply, just know that you're a sinner, and so am I. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Scripture also says in Romans 5:8 that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still enemies, He died for us. And He paid the penalty for that sin. And you can call out to Him tonight. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, would you just make these your words and pray them to Him? Don't just repeat them after me, but make them your own and pray them to Him. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross for me. Would You save me, Jesus? You don't have to get all the words right. Just cry out to Him. Would You save me, Jesus? Now let's thank Him. If you prayed that, we want to thank Him tonight. Lord Jesus, thank You for saving our souls. Thank You for coming into our hearts. And Lord, if there's one here that prayed that prayer tonight, I pray they would come forward and just let us know. And Lord, everybody else is here, those that are born again, I pray that just anew we would know what help, what marvelous help You bring to our lives, ultimately for Your glory, Lord Jesus. We love You, we praise You, and it's in Your name. Amen. Amen. Y'all stand to your feet tonight. Charles is coming to lead us. And if you have a decision to make tonight, we're going to have some guys here ready to receive you. You just come on tonight, and I'll turn it back over to Brother Leland. And thank you so much. God bless you.
First verse. Did you pray that prayer? Bow your heads, if you would, every eye closed, every head bowed. You've heard a simple message, clear. And you say, Leland, I really did. I prayed the prayer that Brother Ivy mentioned. I asked Jesus into my heart. Did anybody do that? If you did that, would you just slip up your hand? Well, nobody's looking. Eyes are closed. I see your hand. I see yours. I see yours. Anybody else, real quickly? I see that. All right, see it. God bless you. Yes, see you. Now then, here's what I want you to do, guys and gals. I'm going to ask you to do something that takes some guts, takes some courage. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you publicly. They mocked Him. They laughed at Him. They cussed Him. They spit on Him. But He publicly died for you and I. Since your hand went up and you said, I asked Jesus to come into my heart, I want to ask you now to step out and come to the front, and we're going to all pray together. But you say, I'm on Jesus' side. I'm taking His side. I'll come. I've got the courage to come to the front and let people know I'm on Christ's side. As Brother Charles sings another verse, will you come right now? Step out. Yes, come on. God bless you. Come on. Someone else, real quick, because we're getting ready to pray. Coming home, coming home. Won't be long, we'll be going home. It's always good to get home. Some of you right here in this group looking forward to getting home. I think what it'll be to go to God's home, our home. Our Father. There's some folks down here that we've been praying for a while. So good to see them step out, to have the courage. Well, I know that it took a lot. We pray that you just deal with each heart. Thank you that you loved us enough to die for us. And thank you, Father, that we still get to tell the story. And that you're still in the saving business. Thank you for these that have come tonight. That in their heart ask you, but then with their mouth and with their legs, they've stepped out. They've taken your side. And Father, we know that took some courage. So, Father, I pray for each one. If they have any questions, Father, help them not leave tonight without asking them. Help each one to go over in the Bible. To be clear, Father, this is the most important decision they'll ever make. They'll have a lot of decisions to make the rest of their life, but there'll never be one more important than this one, because this seals all eternity. So, Father, bless each one. Thank you for them. Thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for Brother Ivy, for those that are here. In God's name, amen. Be sure and pick up a pamphlet. If you have any questions, stay and ask. Keep the Bible. If you need one, keep that Bible. God bless you. Thank you for being here.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.